Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1645, The Power of Failure and How Setbacks Can Move Us Forward, with Amy Schoenthal, author of the new book, The Setback Cycle.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
I kept seeing this pattern of how every time someone would be talking to me about their career journey, about their origin story, the thing that they got most excited to tell me was the moment or the period of time when they climbed out of some sort of setback.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. We're talking about one of my favorite topics today, the F word, failure, or setbacks, as my guest likes to call them. Amy Schoenthal is the author of a brand new book that comes out tomorrow. It's called The Setback Cycle, and it's getting a lot of attention because I think it's probably one of the most relatable books out there. It's already topping bestseller lists, and the book is about how defining moments can move us forward. Whether you're stuck in a rut right now after a layoff or trying to navigate debt, moving through an unexpected transition in your life, the Setback Cycle offers guidance on how to take yourself through your toughest moments and forge a stronger path forward. This book is not about how everything in life happens for a reason. There's no spirituality to this. It's actually a lot of science, neuroscience, that proves why humans, you and I, are well equipped to work through setbacks. A little bit more about Amy. She's a journalist, an author, and marketing consultant. Throughout her career, she's worked with some of the biggest brands worldwide, from Procter & Gamble to Google, providing strategic marketing guidance and helping shape their brand narratives. She's also the author of a local children's book about the independent-owned businesses in her own beloved neighborhood of Sunnyside, Queens, where she lives with her husband and daughter. Here's Amy Schoenthal. Amy Schoenthal, welcome to So Money. You're about to indulge us in one of my favorite topics, which is setbacks. I've had many of them, which is kind of the point. You are a brilliant journalist and new author of The Setback Cycle. Welcome and thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk to you about this.
Oh, your book is really hitting a nerve. Let me tell you, if there's anyone on this episode listening who's like, I've never had a setback, maybe you want to check that math again. It's what makes us human. This is how we learn. This is how we ultimately triumph. And, you know, your book focuses on mostly professional and career-oriented setbacks. Disclaimer, this is not about, you know, traumatic events. And this isn't a book that, I love how you state this, like, very upfront. You're like, this is not a spiritual book. This is not a book that's like, everything happens for a reason. But in our careers, even in our financial lives, when we experience setback, your your system here that you really want to share with your audience is a good one. We need this because in the moment, it's devastating when something doesn't go your way. It doesn't go to plan. We don't like uncertainty. Tell us first a little bit, Amy, about you and how you arrived at this topic, because you have done a lot of things. You are an expert in many areas. And I want to know your own origin story behind this book.
Oh my goodness, where to begin? Well, for many years, basically, you know, for 20 years, I've been doing freelance writing on the side of my marketing career. And through both, I guess through my many roles, I've basically been studying the habits of leaders in many different ways, the habits of successful leaders, of not so great leaders, and I guess what really came to light, especially over the past few years, and especially in some of the profiles of founders and entrepreneurs and leaders that I did, mostly for Forbes Women, I kept seeing this pattern of how every time someone would be talking to me about their career journey, about their origin story, the thing that they got most excited to tell me was the moment or the period of time when they climbed out of some sort of setback. And mm-hmm. I use the word setback very, very intentionally, because as you said, you know, there's so much research and there's so much that's been written about things like post-traumatic growth and grief and things as simple as like learning from your mistakes. You know, you learn that lesson as a kid. It's important to learn from your mistakes. And I think I was seeing all of those things, but they weren't, I didn't really see the pattern articulated anywhere. And that's how I started researching and talking to people about what I was seeing. And that's how I arrived at this notion of it's always a setback that gets them there. And it could be a micro setback. It could be a series of small ones. It could be a major, you know, life altering one. But at the end of the day, it's always a setback. And a setback, in its truest definition, is a reversal in progress. So it's when you're working towards something, you are in a forward trajectory and something unexpectedly, either through, you know, unforeseen circumstances, a mistake you made, someone else's fault, something unexpectedly bumps you backwards. So if you think of something like a divorce or a relationship ending or a co-founder breakup, or, you know, insert, you know, job loss or whatever financial setback you have, you know, a dip in the market, like things like that. It's always a setback and it's not always a dramatic one. And so that's how I arrived at, like, this is the common thread that I am seeing through everyone's story. Let's explore it. Let's dive into it. Let's see what some experts have to say about it. And let's take these lessons and figure out how we can apply it to our own lives. Because as you said, we have all experienced setbacks. And so if you're listening and thinking, oh, I haven't really experienced one, maybe now that I've defined it for you, you realize something that you experienced perhaps is a setback or was one.
Another thing you do very intentionally is that you call the book the setback cycle, not this like clean U-shaped bounce back, you know, like, and much like the financial world, the market, the economy moves in cycles. And sometimes when people come to me and they're like, I'm really afraid of investing, I'm really afraid of doing anything with my money that requires any bit of risk, I say, I get that. But if you want to, if you want to benefit from the upswing, you have to also account for the setbacks. Yep. That when, you know, there's an expression like what goes up must come down. Well, what goes down also goes up. So it's just part of like the mindset that needs to be addressed. And I loved the neuroscience that you brought really quickly into the book. I learned a lot about the basal ganglia, which is our brain's command center. And this was interesting. I thought that our brains are hardwired actually to learn more from setback than success. Similarly, in the financial world, the pain of losing money is greater than the measure of happiness we experience from a win, which is actually a good thing, because when we experience pain, there is a moment of reckoning and learning possibly. So what else did you learn scientifically about setbacks? Oh my God,
so much. So my new favorite person is a woman named Chantel Pratt. She is a neuroscientist. And what I love about her, I have her book, actually. It's called The Neuroscience of You. It's fascinating. It's heavy. Like, it's intense. But what I love about Chantel is that, you know, someone like me who doesn't have like that scientific background, or, you know, I don't really understand very complicated neuroscientific principles, I came to her and I asked her my questions. And I really wanted to understand, like, if everyone or if so many people I have spoken to have gone through this, you know, seemingly very similar formula, is it biological? Is it a human nature kind of thing? Like, what's the science behind this? And she explained it to me in a way that was very easy for me to understand, which is really what you were just saying. Like, we learn more from the dips. And these are, you know, a setback results in a dopamine dip. And everyone understands the concept of dopamine, I think, today. And in terms of just like, you know, you're scrolling social media and you want the dopamine hit. Well, it's the dips that get us to sort of like stand at alert and say, what just happened? Why do I feel like that? Because our brains are always seeking rewards and moving away from discomfort. And so when you get that discomfort, when you get that negative experience, you want to do everything in your power to avoid a similar experience. And that's why, you know, at a very sort of surface level explanation, that's really why we learn more and our brains like change. Our brains adapt more when we experience those dips, those setbacks. And I like to equate it with strength building and exercise, because as you know, if you're someone who, you know, does like weightlifting, like you have to, the muscle has to break down before it rebuilds as strength. And it's the same with your brain. And it's the same when you're just a person who has experienced a setback. And that's why it's probably the same in the financial world. Like, if you've been through it, and then you are going through it again in some different way, you kind of recognize it and you're less afraid of it.
Right. Right. Yeah. I was thinking about fear a lot as I was reading your book, that what you're really equipping us with in your, and we'll go through the stages and of the cyclical stages, that really, if you embrace this and you, if you adapt this setback cycle in your own life, you're not fearless, but you're more equipped to navigate scary things.
Absolutely.
So let's make this really tactical. You open the book talking about Reshma Sojani, who is the founder. We know her today as the founder of Girls Who Code. But you take us back to, I didn't even realize this. She ran for a congressional seat back in, I don't know what year was this, 1999?
2009.
You open with this race that you write had garnered national attention. Young voters were really excited to elect Sojani, hoping she would unseat the longtime New York City Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney. Well, this was a setback for Reshma, and she called it a spectacular loss, which is choice words. Tell us a little bit about why you wanted to open with Reshma. And maybe through her ultimate journey and narrative, you can work us through the phases that you outline in the book: establish, embrace, explore, and emerge. But take us back to 2009. Okay, that was...
It was a while ago now. I mean, it feels like yesterday. Like, I feel like it's the year 2000, and 20 years ago was 1980, but I'm in like an elder millennial time warp.
Yes.
But I think for me, Reshma has just like the most clear delineated phases of the setback cycle. And one thing she said to me, and I've interviewed her many times, she's been very generous to share her wisdom and share her story so openly and so candidly. She said to me, I said, like, how do you get the strength to work through setbacks? Like, this is amazing. The way you come out of them is like you gloriously emerge from your setbacks. And it's really phenomenal. And she said, I rise like a phoenix through the ashes. Like, my friends always say, don't get in Reshma's way. And she's like, I've been through it before. So I'm just like not afraid to go after it again. And so basically, if we go back to 2009 and her election, she got all this attention and she knew it was, you know, she was up against the incumbent and it was a long shot that she would win, but she was starting to get really confident. Like celebrities were backing her. She was getting so much attention. She thought she really had a shot. But when election day came, she not only lost, She lost, I think she only got like 17% of the votes. So she lost by like 83%. And so, like she says, you know, she didn't just lose, she lost spectacularly. But what it taught her was that failure won't break you. I mean, it was that very campaign trail when she was visiting schools and talking to educators that she started to see the disparity, the gender disparity in computer science and coding and STEM, especially among this like preteen to teenage, like 12 to 17 age range. And that insight that she got along the campaign trail is what led her to eventually create Girls Who Code. And now it's over 500,000 girls have learned how to code Wow. through this program. It's like phenomenal. Everyone knows this program. I feel like a lot of people who are now in the workforce, you know, are graduates of this program from when they were teenagers. And so like just the impact that she was able to make that she wouldn't have maybe realized if she hadn't gone through that setback. And it's the same formula that she applied. I actually talk about two of her setbacks, because the second one is during the pandemic, when she was forced, like so many parents, to be at home doing remote learning with her young child. And she saw that no one was helping this situation. Like, it was a very clear problem. All of her friends, all of my friends, all of your friends, like, we were all talking yeah. about it. It was insane. And nobody seemed to care. There was no safety net. And, you know, like many of us, she realized that the economy was basically relying on the unpaid and undervalued labor of mothers, you know, parents, but mostly mothers. And that's what led her to create what was first, you know, the Marshall Plan for Moms, which was incredibly ambitious and had some potentially, you know, it had some math in there and some ideas for like applying a payment to those who were at home caring for children, which was super controversial. People hate that. I mean, I have my own thoughts on that, but like people really get upset by that for some reason. And so she knew it would be controversial, but she didn't care. She was like, people are going to attack me. They're going to say, you're not an economist. You don't know, like, where did you come up with these numbers? And she was like, but I've been through it before. Like, I'm not afraid of the criticism. Yeah. I'm like, nobody's making a plan, so why not me? And she made the plan. And look how far she's gotten. You know, she's impacted legislation at the federal level. She, you know, it was rebranded. It was named Moms First. Because now it's an ongoing movement. But she's had some major successes, especially in the state of New York and our local government and at the federal level. So, yeah, she pretty much emerges like a phoenix from her yeah. setbacks. And I think I do say in the book, like, you know, you're not expected to, you know, do it as Reshma does it. But she's just like a very bold, very incredible example of someone who has gone through the setback cycle multiple times.
And it seems, I don't know her personally, but you've interviewed her many times. Is she really just born courageous? Like, how do you, because here's the thing. I think the confidence that she has is unique. And this is a real struggle for a lot of people, particularly women, especially as she, Reshma, is working in male-dominated domains like politics and tech. And even entrepreneurship at large, you know, it's tough. So as you were reporting and researching this and hearing from women, like, can you speak a little bit to the confidence piece? Because I think that's just so important. And if you can't muster that up in you, it's like, how does the rest of this come together? Because ultimately putting one foot in the foot forward in front of the other, it requires belief in yourself mm-hmm. and having that resilience.
I think that, yes, I'm sure Reshma was born with a level of confidence that probably surpasses maybe the average person. However, I think she would probably say to that, why can't you have the same level of confidence, right? And I think her approach is just like, if no one's going to figure it out, I'm going to go figure it out, you know? And yeah, I'm going to mess up, but I'm not afraid of it. And I think, sure, you know, that's easy for her to say maybe, but she's also just like been through it and she has failed. So her fear of failure is probably a little bit less because she has done it before. And if you follow her on social media, she actually posts like Failure Friday and she talks very Wow. openly about her failures because she wants to encourage people to get out there and make the change that they want to see, regardless of a potential lack of confidence, a potential fear of failure. Because I think what she wants to inspire in people, what I want to inspire in people is that you kind of have to go after these things and go after them boldly, and failure probably won't break you. I mean, like, look, don't blow up your life or do anything crazy. I always say to people who are considering, you know, leaving their jobs because they want to go out and start their own business, I say, maybe lay the groundwork before you totally like give up your health insurance and your paycheck. You know, working out of a setback once you realize you're in one does not mean you have to totally abandon everything that came before. There are ways to carve new paths and explore new options without, you know, leaving your job, leaving your relationship, you know, completely changing careers. You know, I would say there's a nice way to tiptoe out of a setback if you find yourself in one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. You also say that setbacks are messy.
They sure are.
We got to embrace the mess, which again is hard. I don't even like a messy house. How am I going to embrace the mess that is in my journey as an entrepreneur, as a mom, as a, you know, all these other roles that I play? What did you find really helped women who were potentially resistant to these messes, like the perfectionism in us, you know, that's why the pain of setback is so grave.
Totally. And look, I am not immune to this. I spent years researching setbacks. I wrote about it. I've become the expert on setbacks. And yet when I find myself in my own inevitable setbacks, I want to fast forward through it. I don't want to go through the embrace phase, which is the moment where we have to sort of like glean the data. Like, why does this feel so icky? Why is it bringing up all kinds of insecurities? I want to fast forward right through that. And my natural instinct is to try to fast forward through that, even though I wrote the book and I know better, right? Like, even I want to fast forward through the messy middle. But what I try to do now with some level of success is recognize what I'm in when I'm in it and understand that the faster, instead of trying to like speed by it and not deal with it and ignore it, now I kind of recognize that, like, the faster I acknowledge what's happening and deal with why it's impacting me so much and go through the phase of the embracing and the understanding and the thinking like, oh, this is bringing up my insecurity of thinking that people don't see me as a smart person. Right. People are, you know, insulting my intelligence or, you know, things like that. Like, those are my insecurities. And once I kind of acknowledge that, I can work through it. And guess what? I work through my setbacks faster because I go through it, not around it, not avoiding it.
Yeah. I'll share a recent setback I had. I launched an investing class online and hundreds of people signed up. It was my first time doing something like this. And I even went in with the understanding that I'm going to learn and there are going to be some setbacks. But the scary thing about even when you anticipate failure, I think this is still, it's scary because you don't know what it's going to look like. Exactly. And will you be equipped and will you be able to recover? And so so this is what happened. I thought I had all my ducks in a row. I'm a producer. So I've like thought five steps ahead, but I didn't even think to check with Zoom, who was going to be my, you know, where I was going to host it. Is there a limit to how many people can show up to this event?
No.
Oh, there was. It was 100. And I pay Zoom. So I wasn't even thinking that like I would be limited in this regard. I even in my dreams thought like maybe it was 300 because I remember like this at one point thinking about it, but like, oh, I'm okay because I pay Zoom. Well, I was not okay. And several people tried to join and couldn't and were upset with me rightfully. And so I cleaned up the mess and all is fine. But I think the great thing that I did in hindsight following that setback was to share it with people and let it be. I didn't hide behind the setback. I was embarrassed for myself for a minute, but I got over it pretty quickly. And do you know what happened? And you talk about this in your book, the importance of having community around your setbacks. When I shared it, I got some really constructive insights. And people were like, well, that's happened to me. Or I will have you know that I attended at someone else's Zoom who runs a multi-million dollar business and has staff and team and assistants. And this still happened because, you know, truthfully, in my mind, I was beating myself up. I was like, oh, this is a symptom of being a solopreneur. I pride myself in doing everything myself, but here we go. Here's what happens when I'm only one person. And then to find out this happens a lot to many people. That was, it did make me smile. So
it makes you feel better to know like you're not alone. Other people have gone through it and no one is going to beat you up as much as you beat yourself up. I'm sure you made good with all the people who couldn't, you
of
know,
course.
I'm sure you did more than enough to overcompensate for it, but like you're going to beat yourself up the most for this. And you're also never going to make that mistake again.
Right. It's so true. You also explore in the book sort of these setbacks that have nothing to do with us, like the pandemic, the financial recessions, inflation, you know, and so what is your advice for meeting those moments in a way that you can work through that gracefully, constructively, get on the other side of that? Because you can feel most helpless in those moments when this is not something within your realm, your control. Maybe share some insights there. I'm sure you have many.
I do. And I think, look, there are always going to be situations that you can't control. And it is almost impossible to predict them. I don't think any of us, say, you know, maybe like a dozen people could have predicted the pandemic before it happened. Like that was obviously uprooted all of our lives and shifted our perception in so many ways. But what you can do is recognize the things that you can control. And one of the activities that I have in the book, I believe it's in the emerge phase, like as you're kind of like coming out of your setback and you're emerging from it, and you have to start to plot that path forward. Are you going to start a new business? Are you going to leave your marriage? Are you going to pull your money out of this thing? Are you going to part ways with your co-founder? And you've made the decision of what you're going to do. And now you have to do it. That sometimes is the scariest part. But I always say focus on what you can control. And an activity that an executive coach, her name is Roshan Shah, she told me this activity and I put it in the book. It's called the ABC scenario planning approach. And it's, yeah, plan A is the ideal outcome. You know, I create this business and it does really well in year one, and I 2X my revenue in year two, and I 5X my revenue in year three, right? Like, so that's your plan A. Great. Now go to plan B. So many founders don't even go to plan B. They just go to plan A and that's it. What are you going to do if you lose this major client? You know, what are you going to do if this distribution model doesn't work for this customer, right? Go through plan B. What's the second scenario, right? What's the backup plan? Mm-hmm. And then go to plan C. Make a backup to the backup plan.
Yes. Look,
these scenarios may not play out. And like I said, there are going to be unforeseen circumstances. But when you are embarking on something new and unknown, if you can really kind of like lay out the details of scenario A, B, and C, you at least feel like, and you probably do to some extent, have control over your situation, over what's going to happen, over these outcomes. And so many, far too few people go through this level of detailed scenario planning, but I think it can be incredibly helpful to, you know, kind of ground you and say, okay, like, I'm ready to roll. Like for me, I'm launching a book next month and I'm just like, okay, you know, this is a little chaotic, but I have things under control and I can only control what I can. And we're just kind of going with it, you know? And so I think scenario planning is a great exercise.
I call it worst case scenario planning. I talk about this in a healthy state of panic because
you do, yes.
I do, whether it's like, it was the pandemic and we were trying to figure out, okay, where are we going to live? Because living in where we were was no longer viable in Brooklyn. And it was just, we weren't happy. And so it was like plan A, find like a dream home in the suburbs. Plan B, rent something, you know, in the suburbs. Yeah. Plan C, move in with family, you know? And so I think it's just helpful to get good with, you got to love plan B. You got to love plan C. You got to be good with it. It does diminish the fear. And then I think it also, to your point, reminds you of just how resourced you are. Yes. And what your options are and what you're actually capable of. And so going back to also that confidence piece, I think gives you more confidence to go and try for A, knowing that you're going to be okay, even if it doesn't work out.
Totally.
I love your book, The Setback Cycle.
Thank you.
I recommend it to everybody. I think especially as we are now, it's coming out in March. And this year, I don't know what my crystal ball says, but I just think it's going to be another year of uncertainty financially, market-wise, like a lot of layoffs. It's an election year, which is also, it brings with it a host of uncertainties politically, economically. So we'll see. But if you need some advice, if you need some structure, Amy Schoenthal's book, The Setback Cycle, is a must read. Thank you so much, Amy, for writing
Thank
your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Thanks again to Amy Schoenthal for joining us. Her book is called The Setback Cycle, and I'll have that link in our show notes so you can grab your copy. I'll see you back here on Wednesday. I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.